Would you say, I love to see people executed? No. Would you say, I love the old rugged cross? It's not smooth. Doesn't feel good, not the real one. Would you like to have all that blood flowing down on you? I doubt it. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. Why? Because the Lord knew my face was the face of Judas. And he changed it into his likeness and into his image. He did the opposite of the story. The Godhead Part 6, Calvary. Calvary, or Calvarius, Golgotha, the place of the skull. The death of Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the only time in history that it had the unity of heaven, earth, and hell. They all agreed for the death of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? They had different reasons, but they all agreed. Religion wanted to get rid of him. The devil didn't want to see him. God wanted to see us. And that was the basic motivation. And because day six of creation heard the Godhead say, let us make man in our own image, on this day, the sixth day of the Passion Week, God did just that. The blood from the Father flowed down and redeemed the image from the Son, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. No greater story in eternity. The Godhead, the head, in terms of Jesus as the Son, was disconnected from the members of the Godhead. Never happened in eternity, hasn't happened since. That one moment when the Godhead wasn't intact. I can't even imagine that. Can't even imagine it. The head of the Church of Jesus Christ, which wasn't the Church yet, they didn't know it as that, but really was going to be, was mortally wounded. Did you know something, that when the Antichrist comes, and he's probably alive today, having a coffee someplace, Revelation 13:3 says he's going to have a head wound and it's going to recover. He's going to be healed. That's why people are going to follow him. Because people for centuries have said, well, Jesus died, like the Unification Church. Well, he would have been the perfect man for the perfect woman for the perfect family, but he went and messed it up and got crucified. So the Antichrist will say, I am Christ, because I came back. I was healed. Hey, on Sunday we celebrate not a healing, we celebrate a resurrection. There's a difference between resuscitate, healing, and resurrection. And only Christ has that. The other head, by the way, that was destroyed, the real victim, not victim, because he's not really a victim, but the person that really died at Calvary was the devil. The Bible said, you will crush his head, meaning the serpent. And so ever since, the serpent's just been kind of working around like this, working off his own angst. He has no head, he has no thoughts, he has no real plan. But people don't know that. He's the one that really was beheaded. Thank God. And so, I want to spell out Calvary for you. C means crucifixion, of course. From the Latin word excruciating. Patrick was reading to us Wednesday night. The physical suffering of the death of Jesus Christ. I think I did one about 6 years ago on the autopsy of Jesus from the book of Luke. To understand what he really went through gives you a greater appreciation for the relationship he has given you. Really does. A lot of people, and I'm sure that maybe they wouldn't voice it, but they think, he's God. How can it hurt him? How in the world could he be upset? He got through it like that. What do you mean sweating droplets of blood in Gethsemane? How could that happen to him? He's God. Well, he was man. And God. Crucifixion. Excruciating means out of the cross. Greatest pain known to man. A stands for apolemi, which is the Greek word I've talked about before, and I'm saying it again because I think it's important. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it talks about the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. It's foolishness to people that are perishing. You think they'd cry out and say, God, help me. But they don't do that. A lot of people, most people. But the word apolemi means away from, that's what apo means, and alemi means to destroy and cut off. If you remember, I was talking about this is the amputation from the body of Christ and from the mind of Christ. And when you have amputation, you have what? You have phantom pain that you feel, and it's real, and to you it's just alive. I believe in eternity, separate from God, people are going to feel the pain of that separation. Because there's a lot of beliefs out there that say, well, we're just going to cease to exist. So what then? Who cares if he went to the cross? There has to be pain. There has to be punishment. There has to be darkness. There has to be. Or the cross is meaningless. You think Jesus went to the cross because we were already saved? Because it was already okay? Of course not. He knows exactly how desperate the situation is. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be cut off from the life blood of the Creator. Not at all. Calvary, L. These are the motives. Love was heaven's motive, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Law was earth's motive, because the Jews and the religious leaders wanted to what? They wanted to get rid of him because he messed up their religion. Did you know there are people in the world that would rather have you believe the nonsense that's being perpetrated today than the true message of the cross? Because it offends their thinking. I want to buy my way to God. I want to earn it. I want to be able to, at the end, say, look what I've done. It appeals to the pride, which is what was found in the heart of Lucifer in the first place. So it comes full circle. What's hell's motive? Because he's a loser. The devil's a loser and he knows it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to follow a loser. How would you like to be on his side knowing he's the loser? The demons know he's lost. They know they're going to be sizzling one day. They already know it. That's why they cry out in the scripture. V is for violence. The crucifixion, as the Bible talks about, that in the fullness of time Jesus came when everything was prepared, the Roman roads, the language so the gospel could be presented, and crucifixion. It was invented by the Persians, the modern-day Iranians, in about 300 to 400 BC, but it was perfected by Rome. Just in time to crucify the perfect one. You think there's a question as to why it waited until that time frame? No, it was created primarily as a weapon against the Savior. A, in Calvary, the area. I was reading, I thought this was interesting. There's a 400 square foot mobile home. It's 50 years old, has quilts on the furniture, and Cheerios on the microwave. I hope they don't put the Cheerios in the microwave. But at any rate, in their microwave, $1.2 million. $1.2 million. It's in the Hamptons. Because some of the people there, they want to buy them so they can live in them while they're renting out their gazillion-dollar locations and pay for their taxes, probably. Can you imagine? That little nothing, $1.2 million, because of the area. Now I got to ask you, the highest price of real estate on this earth has got to be right below the cross where the blood of Jesus was shed. No greater gift. The redemption of a soul is costly. No other property can match the value of that place. I don't care what they say. No way. So, in the wonderful book of John, I want to go to the reason for it. The reason, of course, I'm not reading the crucifixion text, but Jesus, who is talking prior, 16th chapter, I'm going to read 15 verses, but I'm not preaching on them all, so you can be encouraged. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. Does that sound like a Paul of Tarsus to you, Saul? Sounds like it to me. Sounds like Kenya to me yesterday, or the day before, whenever it was. 147, 150, somewhere in there, Christians shot in the back. They were separated. Yeah, at a university in Kenya, just because they're Christians. Okay. And they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you'll remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. You know, it's like raising your children. You don't tell them everything when they're a child. They'd never sleep. You wait until they're about time to go out into the world, and hopefully you inform them. Not the day before, but, you know, a few years ahead. Get them prepared. And Jesus told them ahead of time. And he said, now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Everybody today wants to know what heaven's like. Jesus said nobody was even asking me where I'm going. Why? Because they didn't want him to go. They wanted him to stay there and protect them and to set up a kingdom. Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The prince of this world now stands condemned. The devil is finished, folks. When it said it is finished, they should have just said the devil's finished. Because that's what it really, in a great sense, means. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. Remember, he's the eyes. And he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine, and that's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Do you see the Trinity in all this? They're working together. Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Spirit. And ultimately, the Spirit will send us in service to the Master. Why did Jesus do all this? Because he knew if he didn't leave, if he didn't die, we'd still be in our sins. And if he didn't rise, we wouldn't enjoy it with him forever. And if he didn't leave, he couldn't send the Holy Spirit. As long as Jesus was there, which was wonderful, you could have a miracle, you could have a healing, you could have a great teaching, but you couldn't have it in everybody. You could have it one at a time because he was limited in time and space. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's saying, he can do it all at once, which is fabulous, just fabulous. I was thinking about, I can't remember if it was 92 or 93, but at the Academy Awards, Schindler's List had won for the best picture, which it should have. It should have been in its own category. But at any rate, they had Steven Spielberg, the director, brought with him one of the survivors of Auschwitz. And he stood up there and he basically said what somebody told him who was behind the gates of Auschwitz when the people were coming to free them, but most of them wouldn't survive because they were already too far gone. And the man looked and said, "Don't forget to tell them how we died. Don't forget to tell them how we died." And in today's Christianity, for a great part, all they want to talk about is all the blessings we can get. Without the cross, we don't have a blessing. Let's not forget to tell people how he died, why he died, and that he's coming again for us. And so Jesus says in here, "I'm going to send the helper." This word, it's a great word. It's basically the same word of Jesus, because the word Jesus means to help us. And it is also the same word for the helpmeet, for the wife, to not kill her husband, but fight for him. That's what it means. The word is paralytos. It's the same idea of the word parallel. You're going in the same direction, that unity, which is fabulous. And of course, para in it means coming to the side of someone and to be close to their side. Jesus couldn't be close to everybody at once. He couldn't. But the Holy Spirit can. How many are glad he can come to you at 3 a.m, at 3 p.m? And he comes, and then he's going to convict the world, and he's going to expose sin. And the word convict means to convince with solid evidence. And I can guarantee you, if the Holy Spirit convicts you, you know you're convicted. Because he gives you a laundry list, of course, with the grace of Jesus, if we so respond to it. When the Father hears the cry, and we know now that sin is removed and Jesus is interceding for us, the best prayer partner you'll ever have, then he releases the Holy Spirit to come to our aid. All of this is possible because of Calvary. Without it, we couldn't have it. There's no way. Calvary, the Son of God, for a moment abandoned. Why? So we could be welcomed. That's why. I can't think of anything worse than feeling abandonment. And Jesus was on his own for each one of us. Don't forget to tell people how he died. And then don't forget to tell them he's still alive. Now there's the great message of Easter. And we know it, but they didn't know it at the time. Imagine how distressed they were. Just horrible. And yet the Lord told them all ahead of time. He said, "This is what's going to happen." But they didn't believe him. Or they didn't interpret it the same way. But I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that he went there no matter what. Because without Calvary, of course, you don't have Easter. And without that excruciating pain, you don't really know how much God loves you. How much pain have you been in your life? You think the Lord understands it? You betcha. If we could put his pain on some kind of meter, I think it would just keep going like this. It would never land. Because it was that horrible. So I thank him for that wonderful gift that he's given us. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that the Godhead, as always, works together in that parallel time. They work, they walk together, except this day of Calvary. They could not be there. They could not be in communion with you. Not when sin was upon the sacrificial lamb. They had to turn their back. God, we can't imagine what you went through for us, but I know you did it because Without that, we'd be abandoned to that hellhole, to that fire that awaits those that have no concept that they'll be amputated from your presence and they'll feel the pain forever. God, we pray for everyone we know and those we don't know that do not know Jesus Christ, that you would just touch their life. Holy Spirit, open up their understanding so that they come to an awareness. God, this is not a joke. They're not going to cease to exist. They're not going to live in some kind of mute form. They are going to be in pain, isolated, and really separated and forsaken. The greatest pain of all is to feel rejected. God, thank you that you were rejected, that we could be accepted in the Beloved. And Father, I pray for each one here that, Lord, you would just increase our love for you and our appreciation of the excruciating pain of the cross. Because, Lord, it may be foolishness to the world, but it's our salvation. And we proudly, proudly carry the cross every day of our life. Father, we worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing, There Is a Redeemer. And then when we're done, when this is done, I like to have the handheld mic and let's as many as want to, thank the Lord for Calvary in whatever way you want to, however you want to say it, okay? Praise God. Who'd like to start what you thank God for Calvary? Put your little hand up. He died for her sins. That's right. Someone else.
I'm thankful that 12 years ago on Good Friday, my dad went to meet the Master. And I have the hope that I will be there one day too.
Amen. Amen. That's why we're wearing our Thank Dad for Life little buttons. 25 years ago today, our dad slipped into the hands of Jesus Christ. And I can guarantee you, the triumph of that moment will never be forgotten. I'm grateful because there were many years when it didn't appear that was going to happen. When I got saved, he said, "And I suppose you're going to be an angel." And I said, "Oh no, I'm going to be an above an angel, because a saint is above it." And he found out later, like Dave and Carolyn's dad did, and knew, and many of yours, God means what he says. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise, the garden of God. Someone else. Janet, let's get him on the mic so everybody can hear everybody.
I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face. What greater thing?
Amen.
And praying that Dean will go with me.
Absolutely. Yes.
I can't even imagine living my life without living my life for the Lord. It would be Greek to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank him.
Amen. Someone else. You're not all that shy. I'm just thankful that nobody forced him to do anything. That even in his humanity, he made that choice.
Yep.
And how wonderful is that when you know somebody loves you because they want to, not because somebody told them that they had to.
That's
or
right.
Because they felt guilty or something like that, but he chose to. And that you just can't beat that.
That's right. Amen. Someone else.
I thank the Lord for my family. It's been 10 years ago, the 1st of April, my wife left. And it's really been our hard week. So, I thank the Lord for the many, many blessings he's blessed upon me through the past 10 years.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Anyone else?
I just want to thank the Lord that he came into my life when I certainly didn't deserve it. I had no possible thing I could do to deserve it. He came into my life because he loved me enough to die for me. I thank him for that.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for all that he's done for me. I've been so sick in the past, and I always come through it with flying colors. Thank you so much.
Amen. Anyone else? Don't I miss anybody? Joyce.
I thank Jesus for always being with me. In every circumstance, in every moment, be it good, bad, dangerous, no matter what.
That's right.
I can turn to him.
Amen.
And I can't even imagine what it would be like without him. So I thank him.
Reminds me of one of the great songs of Andre Crouch. He said, "If heaven never was promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth having the Lord in my life. I wouldn't trade it for a thing." And that's wonderful. Someone else?
Yes. I didn't realize that
Good Friday should be called a good thing because God was on the cross until I came here tonight and heard why everyone and why we should say it's Good Friday because mm-hmm. he shed his blood for me, for you, and for all of us.
Amen.
And I suffer a lot, but he brings me through it one day at a time.
That's right.
Thank you, Amen. Lord Jesus. I love you so much. Amen.
That's Adrienne. She lives at Banfield. Anyone else?
Hold on. Amen.
Amen. Anything else? Okay. I don't have it scheduled, but I'm doing it anyway. I think we should end with a great song. I haven't decided yet. No, I'm kidding. Let's sing And Can It Be, which is 347. We will never understand the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 347.
Thank you.
Lord, let it ever be amazing. May we never figure it out. May every day we wake up and say, amazing grace. Thank you for new life, new hope, and a new day. Bless, I pray, the work of your hands. And may we, Lord, as we come together again to celebrate, the tomb is open. Religion is empty, but Jesus is alive. Father, touch, I pray, for your glory and honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming.